Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, if the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, is fired or resigns, what does it mean for the Justice Department, for the Mueller probe, and for the politics ahead of the midterm? We'll talk about that and take your calls, but first to the politics of Minnesota and the state's key role in who controls the House and Senate. Brianna Bierschbach is here to tell us why. She covers politics for NPR News. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
A lot of money flowing into Minnesota and a lot of television ads as a result of that. Why?
Yeah, Minnesota, really, if you look at control of the House or Senate nationally this year, it has to run through Minnesota. We have more competitive seats than we've ever seen before, four. We have eight seats total, and half of them are some of the top watched races in the country. And that's really not the case. When you're looking at a congressional map that's shrinking in terms of how many seats are competitive, to have four battlegrounds in one state is really extraordinary. That's two of them are in the suburbs, and two of them are rural seats, basically all of southern Minnesota and all of a lot of northern Minnesota are going to be flooded with outside money, already getting flooded with ads. And we also have two Senate seats on the ballot this year, which wasn't obviously supposed to be the case. Amy Klobuchar was supposed to be up, not Tina Smith.
Yeah, as you're describing this, I'm thinking, if you'd asked political reporters a year ago, did we see this coming? Yeah. We didn't see a lot of it coming.
No,
right?
We couldn't have. I mean, Rick Nolan is up in the 8th District. He's always had competitive races, but then he resigned from his seat, leaving it open, making it even more competitive. Tim Walz has always been in kind of a competitive, you know, Republican-leaning southern Minnesota seat, and he decided to run for governor, leaving that open, making that suddenly more competitive. And the suburbs are just increasingly becoming competitive. We also have an interesting phenomenon in Minnesota where we have rural Democrats and suburban Republicans, which is becoming less and less of a thing. We have Rick Nolan and Tim Walz are Democrats representing these really rural districts.
Yeah.
And we have two Republicans representing really suburban districts, which are increasingly becoming more Democratic. So we could have potentially a flip of that, you know, any sort of which combination in this election, which really is why people are getting inundated with in ads and a ton of information about this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've laid out the reason that we are so competitive and why outside groups care about this, right? Because as you said, the control of the House and maybe the Senate runs through Minnesota. What are they doing about it?
I mean, spending already millions and millions of dollars. I mean, we're expecting millions to be spent here eventually, but we're still more than a month out of away from November 6th, the election. And in the third congressional district, where Representative Eric Paulson is a Republican and currently represents, he's being challenged, has a strong challenger in Dean Phillips, a Democrat.
The television ads, Brianna,
so
oh my
many.
Gosh, I see them back to back.
Back to back. And the interesting thing for a consumer is you might be in the third district watching, you know, ad after ad for that race, but you also might be seeing an ad for the 8th district race come in. You might also see something for the first congressional district because they're kind of just airing all over the place because of the nature of TV buys, and people are probably like, who represents me? Who do I vote for in this election? It's almost getting confusing. There's so many ads going right now. But in that district, there's already been, I think, over $2 million spent just from outside groups. That doesn't even include the candidates. So you're really seeing how outside groups are shaping the narratives in these districts. They're shaping the message. They're shaping how people perceive these candidates. And the ads from outside groups tend to be negative. They tend to not talk about the issues necessarily.
I want to emphasize what you just said. All that money, $2 million and more, that's being spent already is not even coming out of the candidates' coffers themselves,
right,
which means that as we get closer and closer to the actual election day, there's going to be money spent by the candidates too. It will just be wall-to-wall TV ads. But here's the question. Are they mostly spending on TV, or are they finding other ways to deploy this money in ways that may shape voters' impressions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in past elections, candidates have realized and campaigns have realized the importance of being on digital, but never like they have in this campaign, which has really been interesting to watch. You used to see, you know, maybe $10,000 spent here or there putting up Facebook ads or something like that. Now campaigns are spending hundreds of thousands, close to millions of dollars to get people online.
Wow.
Because they're realizing a lot of people don't have cable television anymore. And they're really, Ilhan Omar, for example, who ran a competitive primary for the 5th Congressional District. This isn't even one of the ones we're talking about. She's now for the Minneapolis seat, probably a likely favorite to win. But in her competitive primary, she almost exclusively advertised on Facebook and digital.
So, what do those ads look like?
Yeah, videos. So they're kind of like, they might be kind of like the explainer videos you see maybe being like, hey, have you met Ilhan Omar? She was a refugee. Here's a bit of her backstory. They'll have footage of her walking through the streets. You know, maybe her daughter was in some of them, shaking hands with people. They try to just quick bites explain to you who this person is. They might look like any other, like a cooking video you might see pop up on your Facebook feed or something. They're trying to create content that tailors to what people are already seeing on their Facebook pages or on other social media. And that's becoming more and more common as people get off. They don't have cable TV. They haven't yet figured out what to do about Netflix and other places that don't have ads while they stream movies.
Oh, but that's coming, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I watch a lot of Netflix and it's just too good.
Yes.
And I'm sure it will be interrupted by campaign ads. What about voter registration and voter turnout? Are there ways that these outside groups are deploying this money to try to get their own groups of voters out?
Well, you're definitely seeing groups, the Democratic Party, which is interesting, which is a party, but still technically outside of the candidates themselves. I recently got, because I'm a registered voter in this state and I live in Minneapolis, the party sent me an application for to apply for early voting, which I thought was so interesting. They actually sent me a paper copy to fill out and said, hey, fill this out so you can cast your ballot early or make sure you're registered. I was already registered, but they're like, if you want to double check, you know, make sure you're registered. They are targeting people on Facebook, though. I mean, that's a great way to be like, hey, you know, click here to see if you're registered to vote and get out and support this candidate. And that's a huge hurdle for a lot of people. In Minnesota, luckily, we have same-day voter registration,
right.
So people can register at the polls if they need to. But in a lot of states, getting people out early and targeting that registration piece of it is really important.
I wonder if you've been learning about some of the things that outside groups and campaigns find out about us and then use that information to get at us on social media or even through the mail at our house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, any state, I wrote a piece a bit about how campaigns can find out who you are and find your telephone number, for instance, or your email address.
How do they do it?
You know, the Secretary of State actually makes some of that available for a price.
That's right. I heard this story.
Yeah. If you register your phone and use your phone number, that's public information. Your address is public. They don't give out emails in this state, but other states do. But they can also find it in so many ways. Say you've been on Facebook and you've accepted the terms of agreement for an app. You may have unknowingly given out your phone number anyway to an app that can use it for something else if you didn't read the terms closely. Or maybe you use Bite Squad or something, or some kind of food delivery service, and they have your phone number. You know, who knows? There are ways in which they can use that data and sell that data, and you can suddenly be starting getting text messages from campaigns. They can find you in so many ways. There's also this thing called scores, where campaigns pay a company that scores you based off of whether you bought yoga pants yesterday or whether you are buying, steaks on the regular, like you eat steaks all the time. They are trying to figure out who you are and who you might vote for through that.
So they're tracking your activity online and then putting that into a profile in some ways the campaigns can use.
Yes. And it's
called
scoring.
There's no escaping this.
There's none. Unless you just want to not be on the internet at all.
Yeah, which is almost impossible.
Yeah.
So as an experienced political reporter, what would you say to voters who what are we, 6 weeks out?
Yep.
From the election, who already feel inundated? Because let me add this. A lot of voters say, well, the campaign commercials don't mean anything. They don't change my mind. But they wouldn't buy them and they wouldn't use them if they didn't work.
Right.
So they're more insidious and influential than you think they are.
Yeah.
So advice for voters.
You know, be an educated voter and consumer of these things. Are there going to be ads that aren't true? You know, do your own research. Some ads.
You said that like, can you believe that? There
can
are
you
ads
believe
that
it?
Aren't true.
Or they'll stretch the truth. Exactly. And I think, you know, be an educated consumer. You can turn your TV off, though. You might get a text message from a campaign. Unsubscribe from it. You know, you might want to do that. If someone comes to your door and you think they're there for a campaign and you don't really want to talk to them, you don't have to answer it. But it is campaign season. It's a critical election here. And I think there's only so much you can avoid at this point.
Hey, good to have you in.
Thanks for having me.
Brianna Bierschbach with us on the spending that's going on through outside groups in Minnesota this election season, because we are such a big player in the outcome of control of the House and Senate.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at @KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.